This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Will the NBA make the early return? And a great person to talk to you about that is Jay Will, who joins us every week on a Tuesday. You can hear him on KJZ every morning right here on 98.7 ESPN. So, Jay, let's just begin there with the idea, with the reporting that has been about, first we thought it might be MLK, maybe even as late as March, Adam Silver was saying. Now reports, and we could find out as sometime this week, they might be ready to go December 22nd, Christmas Day, with a December 1st training camp open. That's a quick turnaround.
You know why? Because people miss seeing the Cavs play. People miss, seeing seeing the Knicks play.
You better not say Knicks. Oh.
You know, wait. That's why.
First of all, Neil Aquina. They love Frank Neal Aquina.
They love Neal Aquina.
First of all, before we get too deep into it, Jay, are Kyrie new shoes orange and blue? Is he trying to troll the Knicks? Is he trying to troll the Knicks? You can ask him because all the people are, it's yellow. That's orange and blue. I think he's trolling the Knicks.
Now, have you seen it? First of all, let's be fair to Jay. I don't know if he saw.
Well, I
put up a post yesterday.
Jay, what's your cell number, Jay?
We'll send it to him. If you didn't see it, I'll send it to you. But
I'm Googling it right now.
Go to my gram. I have it on the gram. I have a vote up on the gram.
He don't follow you, Alan?
I see it.
That's funny.
Maybe a little. But see, Bart, this is why, look, as somebody who's been calling sports nonstop, and I feel like this was the longest NBA season of all time, I feel like I need a damn break from the NBA season. But realistically, man, the open real estate for what I just heard Alan talk about, these type of conversations about whether Kyrie is actually trolling the Knicks if he wears Knick color shoes on a Brooklyn court, like, that's why you come back early. Doesn't mean that players are going to low manage. Sure, but the storylines still dominate the marketplace. And if anything, for that value, that's what you give your sponsors. And this is also about revenue, guys. This is about how do we get people in the seats and get these stadiums at least somewhat percent full so we can actually recoup some of the revenue that we lost from last season. That's what this is all about.
I mean,
I imagine, you heard Danny Green say that, and he was speaking out of pocket, but still, I imagine there's some thought to this that teams like the Lakers who went the distance, I doubt you'll see Miami do it, but there's others that might just say, too quick of a turnaround, not good for my body. I'm going to take some games off early in the season, but we'll be ready to go when we do get to a playoff. We're getting so used to it in the NBA. I don't know how fans would really react as poorly as, if this never happened before.
Well, I don't think fans are going to react, but they're going to react in spurts, right? Like, we're all fans. We don't know how the hell to react right now. It's just like the last, Key and I were talking about this the other day. I was like, man, like, I feel like we had NHL, we had the Stanley Cup going on, we had Major League Baseball going on, we had NBA playoffs in the finals going on, we had NFL football that was playing, we have college football that's going on. Like, there's so many sports. It just seems like this is the new normal, that we're just going to have a ton of sports that we talk about all the time until we get to somewhat of a new normal. But this, at least sports, makes it feel somewhat normal that I can argue with my friends about something other than COVID protocol, damn it. Like, I need something else to yell at my friends for. It's the only normal thing I have.
And I think this is an opportunity for the NBA to become relevant in the offseason as well, because you talk about the fanatic pace in which free agency will have to happen, training camps will happen, the draft will happen, and people love to see transactions going to put them into the face and the lap of the fan. I mean, the NFL is great, but that's like eating steak every day. Every once in a while, you want some chicken. And I think that, the fact that the NBA can be the alternative to, okay, I want to watch a little basketball today, something different, I think it's an opportunity for the NBA to take advantage of. And for all the teams out there like the Heat, like the Lakers, they have to understand it. They got to understand that they got to do something that's for the greater good of the NBA. It's not fair that the Knicks have to wait almost a year and a half before they play a game, because those guys need an opportunity to earn revenue as well, because they haven't been getting checks for that duration of time. So it's time for them to be able to earn a living as well. So it's more about the majority and not the minority. So those are the minority. Those are one or two teams that we're talking about, maybe four, that has to deal with that when we're talking about the rest of the league needs to start generating revenue, not only for their organizations, but for the players who have bills and need to get a check so they can start paying those bills.
Yeah, and also I'll say, that's a great point, Bart. And I also think another really fascinating scenario to see how it plays out you know, the players are so avid about having signs that talked about social injustice. How do you continue to move that narrative and move that needle to bring more awareness and recognize, you know, recognition to the fact of what's happening in our country? You know, how will Adam Silver handle that moving forward, considering numbers were down? Now, that wasn't the only reason numbers were down. There's just a slew of sports and everything going on. But as a commissioner of, you know, this one of the most progressive leagues there is, you know, how do you plan that out? How do you do that? Because you still want to incentivize people to watch your product,
right?
That helps you get higher advertising dollars and things of that sort when you have a bigger audience that watches your product. So it's going to be an interesting conundrum to see how it plays out.
Yeah, for me, it's about the – I don't want to cut you off, Alan. For me, it's about the action steps now, right? We put the buses and the logos there. Now it's time to take that $25 million and start, you know, strategically putting them into communities and supporting groups and you know, initiatives that are made to start to do the action steps of what we said. Say her name, justice reform, you know, all that type of stuff, legislation. I think it's time for that now, being able to have lobbyists, you know, for the NBA in Washington – to be able to start trying to make changes, not just talk about it.
Can I ask you guys something? Both of you being athletes, and I want to make sure you guys understand this is coming from, you know, at least trying to come from a positive place, or just, this is an innocent question, not loaded at all. At one point, will these guys almost feel like, when can I just go back to focusing on being a basketball player?
Never again.
You understand what that's the answer I was wondering I was going to get. Because we're saying this like the players need to get out into the community. The players need to represent. The players need to do this stuff. And it almost feels like it can be at times exhausting for these guys to think about now I've got to practice, but then I also have to go out into the community. I got to do all this stuff. I got to focus on this. I got to talk. I got to read up on all this stuff so that when I do speak, I come from a place of intelligence. I mean, that's a lot for guys in their 20s who are trying to also be great at their sport to handle.
Alan, can I say something real quick? I'm sorry, Bart.
Right.
Did you hear what you just said? For guys to be informed when they come to the podium? For guys to know what's going on? Like, This is an opportunity. Yeah, we should be more informed whenever we step up to the podium. I'm not saying you have to address these issues, but if they are issues that you are going to protest about, it's important that everybody knows as much information as possible. So I hear what you're saying. Is it tiring? Yes, it is tiring. Should that responsibility be on the weight of just the athlete? No, it shouldn't be. But still, think about the platform that these guys have. It's really the biggest platform in the world. It should come with some responsibility.
Yeah, for me, I think it goes back to normal after the election. You know what I mean? I think, you know, if it goes a certain way, I think it goes back.
I don't know if we know that for sure. Right?
So if it goes back another way, I think then athletes will start to kind of exhale and start holding, you know, start holding people accountable. But I think they go back to going to issues that really, you know, outside of just the social justice. Because remember, every athlete usually has a charity. Mine was addressing, you know, handicap, right? Because my cousin got shot in the back sitting at the bar, innocent bystander. He became a quadriplegic. So I do a lot of my work with quadriplegics and paraplegics, right? So, like, people, at some point, you still want to get back. You're always going to have the social justice there, but you're going to get back to doing the things that you were for. I remember D'Angelo Williams. His mother died of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. So that was something that was big for him. Willie Colon is, I think it's lupus.
Lupus, yes,
you know,
for his mom.
For him, it's lupus, for his mom.
Right.
So I think people still want to get back to that, but you always have to pay attention to what's happening in your communities and what's affecting, you know, people of color, minorities, you know, people with, you know, whether it's the LBG, I always say that wrong, community, you know what I mean? It's all that. So whatever's your initiative, eventually we want to get back to the point where we can go to those, but that means that a lot of changes happen in this world, because right now this is the most pressing issue.
Can I vehemently disagree with you on something?
Go ahead.
I hope that we don't come out of this experience, regardless of whoever wins, and say, hey, let's just go back to normal. Like, I really don't care who wins. Like, there is a new normal that's been established. That's like me saying, well, I just have my accident. I just go back to normal. Like, my life has forever been changed due to these events. And yes, you can go back. I understand what you're saying about, you know, go back to your respective charities and things that mean. But I think that the way we will address things moving forward, it won't be as passive, right? I did this. When I had a charity when I was in the league, and you know, but it was passive. I was there, I was involved, but I really wasn't speaking about it. I wasn't as much as I could have, right? I really wasn't making it a priority. And I think now moving forward, those things have to become bigger things to us, because we recognize that we can no longer just donate our money to issues in our time. Like, we need to stand on our principles and donate our voice a lot. And I think that's been a learning opportunity that we've experienced throughout probably one of the most volatile times in the history of sports.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of why I asked the question. Like I said, it wasn't loaded, but I kind of was seeing which direction it would go in for both of you. And I do understand what you're saying, Jay. I think you're right. We've all reached that point, and I mean all of us have reached that point where there can't be that let's just go back to the way things were, because the way things were was not holding people accountable, looking the other way, or just saying it's not affecting me today, so let me not get involved. And we all see the result of that. So I do think we are in that place. I just ask it because there's a lot of intensity towards players, especially NBA players right now, to wear these patches and carry these banners and say these things as if we need you to be this voice. And for a lot of these guys, it's sort of like, I know I have to, but I also got to be good at what I'm doing. And this is a lot for me, you know, like, and I understand that. Yeah. It wasn't much of an off season. So that's the only reason why I asked the question. It was certainly, like I said, it wasn't to start any trouble. But before I let you go, though, there is something I do want to ask you about, which is an interesting we had an interesting media thing happen this morning. I don't know if you saw it. There was a report that Quinnen Williams was going to be the Jets were shopping him. And then, like, every other beat writer then came out and said, yeah, no, that's not true. That's not happening. And I love the beat dynamics of that kind of stuff when it's basically a semantics thing. Are they listening to offers? Maybe. Are they shopping him actively? No. That's a different thing. There's times when you talk to a reporter and you say something that you kind of feel like this is just a conversation we're having. It's not really something that you should go public with. So last night during the Monday Night Football broadcast, Brian Griese kind of revealed something that Nick Foles told him about his coach's play calling, which was negative, basically saying that they weren't really on the same page. I know you had a take on this morning, and at least an experience of it, because Foles then afterwards says, oh, it was a miscommunication with Greasy in that pre-production meeting. Essentially meaning he shouldn't have said, no, he's basically like, the miscommunication was, yeah, I told you that in confidence, not necessarily exactly. Something to go. So, Jay, your experience in this is what?
Well, Bart, you will recognize this. Have you ever had one of those moments where a beat writer just does you so dirty? And, you know, it's their job. They have to come up and talk to you. Or somebody in the broadcast, they have to come up and talk to you for all these times. I've had it happen so many times where I see these dudes coming at me. I'm like, beeline, opposite way. I'm just not talking to you. I'm not talking to you anymore. That trust is done.
You're dead.
And man.
Stephen A. talks about all the time. I'm sorry. Stephen A. talks about all the time where certain things that Allen asked him not to put on the record when he was with Philadelphia, and he said he didn't do that. That's how you earn players' trust.
Exactly, man. And then it gives you insight to what's going on, but you don't put that player on blast. I had the situation my first year in Chicago where a couple of me and my teammates, we went down to South Florida, obviously, to play against the Heat. We went out for a nice dinner. We kind of went out the night before the game. Shouldn't have, because we weren't in a position with our record to do so, obviously. But a reporter comes up to me literally that day, that morning, and was like, yo, I heard reports of, you know, you being out, you know, with teammates and stuff. And I was like, yeah, you know, I was out. I went out to dinner, you know, and hang out. He's like, no, but I heard you guys are like out. I heard you were out. And then also, like, an article came out. And I, being a rookie, I told my coach I wasn't out, right? Like, I was hiding. I had known this guy for a while, so I thought, hey, you know, we're cool. Like, I'm 21 years old. Of course, I've been in Chicago for the past 3 damn months. Of course I'm in South Florida. I'm going to go out for a nice dinner. It's nice outside.
And a triple right?
There's a lot of nice things to look at.
Exactly.
All right, so, but then the article comes out, and then my coach finds out that I lied to him about it, even though I was out with teammates, but the report focuses on me, and it created such a weird dynamic between my head coach and myself moving forward that it felt like there was just a lack of trust there. And my thing is, for these type of moments when they happen, even listening to Nick Foles at the podium, like I know that he, you know, kind of seems unawkward, But Bart, you tell me if I'm wrong, Allen, too. Like, it felt like he kept talking over himself over and over again. Like, he was, it was like bumbling. I'm in the corner. I don't really know what to say. Brian Griese kind of screwed me here. Like, and this is the reality because obviously it's there. We all saw it. We saw he got sacked four times, two more times, and he got sacked throughout this whole year. But it was like, that just sucks because now it's out there.
Like, you're like, man, this mother. Right here, I tell you what, man. And he keep bumbling because he said in his head, I can't believe this. Greasy's supposed to be part of the culture. He's not like talking to the media. He's one of us. He's a former quarterback in his league.
It's
so like
spot,
he let his, so he let his guard down. But he has to understand, Greasy's in the first year of a primetime spot, a big spot for him. And he's under pressure to say something, right? To have news, to show that he has access. Not anymore. Not anymore.
Three,
because everybody else.
Three, two, one. Well, so it's Matt Nagy. He's having issues with the offensive play calling. Maybe this makes me wonder about Mitchell Trubisky. Was he that bad? Should he come back and play? Nick Foles can't really move in the pocket. Oh, there's trust factor. All these things start because of that for a team that's 5-2.
Now, let me tell you guys from my experience how you actually handle this stuff. And I don't think a lot – and again, I don't know if Greasy really knows this, but how you play the game is take this information – and make it your own. So you sound smart. That's what you do. You don't say, he told me. You go, you know what I see? I see a guy that is not confident in the play calling. I could be wrong, but I see that. I'm looking at a guy that doesn't look like he's believing in this. He hasn't said anything about it. But if it's my trained eye tells me, he's not confident in play calling. You could just see it by the way he's going through the motion, whatever it is.
And you know why now you sound
brilliant when later on it comes out that Nick Foles never trusted the play calling. You're like, oh, Greasy said that.
And you know why he can say
that's
it? Because
all you
he's
do.
A player. Because he's a player.
Normally,
so he can put himself in a situation.
When an athlete tells you something off the record and he doesn't want his name to it, I don't like this too when you get the sources or source
I'm
close to this.
Sources.
You don't do that. You just say it. You say it like you know something.
Well,
and then it comes back when it comes out, and you're like, oh, yeah, you said that. Yeah, I did say
well,
it. I told you.
Alan, I kind of disagree with you a little bit now. This is, you know, sports is like a microcosm of what we see in society. I mean, think about people. This is politics all the time, man. People plant seeds for other people to say. You know how many times I've spoken to people where they say things to me like, well, this is in confidence, Jay, you know. But if you want to take it and make it in your opinion, I'm like, but you're not going to use me to get your opinion out there to cut off somebody else at the knees, man. Like, I'm not. So it's constantly navigating
what
to say and what not to say.
Jay, I covered Stephon Marbury, right? Like that guy, I think he's got me on mute until about 2030. Like, I don't think he's, I don't think he'll ever say another word to me again. And I never even had like any issues with him. It's just there were things that you could tell he liked to try to use media. For his own benefit, and if you didn't play the game, you were out. And once you see that, and you're like, "Yeah, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not playing that."
Yeah.
You know, like, so you're out. Like, it happens in the league. It happens with LeBron. It happens with Tiger Woods. It happens all the time. So you just got to be aware of it.
The media game, Alan Jerry Jones. That's what you get when he curses you on the radio interview.
That's a good point. But it's, you know what though? But it makes for good radio.
You love that caller.
Hell
you're like,
yeah.
Oh, this is a great moment for our station.
Hell yeah. I wouldn't mind that at all. If we had Adam Gase as a weekly and he hung up on us.
That's gold. That's gold right there. That means you got to him.
Or if he said, let me talk. Will you let me talk? That was great.
great soundbite.
Oh, man. Anyways. Always good to talk to you, Jay.
And we
we'll see if he has something to say tomorrow. He's got the Dodgers tonight, and I'm telling you. Did you show him the Kershaw commercial thing?
I didn't yet. I'm waiting, Alan. I'm waiting for
Game
Blake
7
Snell to win this game tonight, and I'm waiting for it to be Game 7. I'm waiting for Clayton Kershaw to be in the bullpen, and that's when I'm going to show him the video.
The agony! Could you imagine if they get to a Game 7 and it's tied? They bring Kershaw in like middle relief, and he just bombs.
It has to happen. It has to happen. Come on, 2020. Give me something good,
Clayton.
Please.
Get in your car. Why don't you like Kiermaier takes one. Kiermaier hits one like to the moon, and that's all you say. You know, he should have just gotten in his car with the Hankook tires.
He
could have probably chased that one down.
But I gotta tell you, Alan, I really, you know, like redemption. If it comes to that, I mean, I can't. Are you gonna root against Kershaw? Are you gonna root against him if it comes to that?
Yeah,
I can't find myself rooting. Like I want there to be redemption for him. I want him to go out on the horse. On the white horse. You know, yeah, Bart. You're that guy. Bart, you know what? You come up to – I hit craps. I hit seven times in a row in Vegas. You're the guy that comes up to my crap table and you put down $1,000 on the don't pass line. That's who you are. I get it.
No, you know why I want the Rays to win? Because I wanted to change the way the Yankees and the Dodgers go about trying to put their teams together. I want to give hope and see fracking to take place to say, hey, it ain't about, you know, spending all your money, even though I want the Mets to do the same thing. But it's also about being able to get ball players. Because I'm the little guy, right? I'm an undrafted free agent. So I love the fact that I see a lot of scrappy players being able to hang with the big boys.
Scrappy. Those analogies don't really adjectives don't really apply to you, do they? You know what I'm going, Bart. Like, Bart, you were considered scrappy?
Yeah, I was scrappy dude.
Let me at him.
Ray Lewis is behind me. Stop fighting, Bart. Shut up, Ray. I'm crazy. Scrappy I'm crazy.
That's why they call him the mad backer.
Yeah, you still are, Bart. That's why I love you.
Jay, we appreciate you, man. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. All right.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.